Hey, everybody, and welcome to another deep dive with us. Today, we're looking at something that honestly affects every single one of us, no matter where we are in life.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security.
Yeah, Social Security.
I know you're probably thinking right now, Social Security, really? It's not exactly the most thrilling topic, right?
It's not the sexiest topic.
No, it's not.
It's important.
Yeah, it really is. And there are a lot of misconceptions floating around about Social Security.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, some people think, oh, it's just like you pay in, you get money out when you retire easy.
Right.
But then you have other people saying, oh, no, it's going bankrupt, or even calling it a Ponzi scheme.
Right.
And so we really want to use this deep dive to set the record straight and look at some in-depth research and data and really see, like, what is the reality of Social Security?
I think people would be really surprised to learn that even though it affects everyone, it's really tailored to individual circumstances.
Oh, interesting.
For example, did you know that in 2022, over 66 million people received a whopping $1.232 trillion in Social Security benefits?
Wow.
That's trillions with a T.
That is a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Yeah, that's a huge amount of money flowing through this system.
Or it's a massive program.
So clearly, this is something that is important for us to understand.
Absolutely.
So let's kind of break it down to the basics. Like, what is Social Security and how does it actually work?
Yeah, so at its core, Social Security is a social insurance program.
Okay.
It's funded through payroll taxes. Mm. So both employees and employers contribute
Gotcha.
A percentage of their wages. And that money is then used to pay benefits to people who are eligible. And that can include retirees, people with disabilities, and even survivors of workers who have passed away.
Okay, so that makes sense. Like, you're paying into this system
right
throughout your working life.
Exactly.
But what's interesting from the research that we've done is that the amount that you receive when you retire isn't just like a direct one-to-one reflection of what you put in.
You got it.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So the benefit formula is designed to be progressive, which essentially means it aims to provide a higher proportion of your pre-retirement income to those who earned less.
Okay.
So, for example, somebody who worked maybe a blue-collar job their whole life
mm-hmm.
and had lower earnings,
yeah.
they're actually going to get a larger percentage of their pre-retirement income back in benefits compared to somebody who's maybe a high earner, like a doctor or a lawyer.
Okay, so it's not just like a savings account
right.
where you get back exactly what you put in.
Exactly. It's meant to be a system that creates more of like a baseline or a safety net for everybody.
Gotcha. So it's not just tied to your individual contributions, but it's also looking at the bigger picture
yeah.
of like providing a basic standard of living for everyone.
Exactly.
I see.
And that's really the idea behind Social Security.
That makes a lot of sense. And in our research, I saw some really interesting examples of like lifetime contributions and benefits for different types of workers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought maybe we could look at a couple of those examples.
Love to.
Just to kind of illustrate how this works in practice.
Perfect.
So one example that jumped out at me was for a single male worker
uh-huh.
who earned an average wage his entire life and then retired in 2020.
Okay.
The data that we have suggests that he would have contributed about $470,000 over his entire working life.
That's right.
However, he's estimated to receive about $640,000 in benefits.
Yeah.
So he's actually getting more than he put in.
More than he put in. Yeah, it's
interesting.
It is interesting.
Now, let's compare that to a single individual.
Okay.
Again, with average lifetime earnings.
Mm-hmm.
Also retiring in 2020, their contributions were a bit lower.
Right.
At about $367,000.
Okay.
But they received about $383,000 in benefits over their lifetime.
Right.
So both of them were receiving more than they contributed.
Yeah.
But the difference between contributions and benefits is smaller for the single individual.
That's right. And that gets into what we were talking about with the progressive nature of the formula.
Right.
And how things like marital status yeah. and spousal benefits can come into play.
Well, that's interesting. So it's not just your individual circumstances.
Right.
But also like your family situation.
Exactly.
That can affect how much you get back.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense. Now, what about married couples?
Oh, okay.
How does Social Security factor in like the combined earnings
right.
of both spouses?
Yeah. So let's look at a married couple where both spouses earned an average wage and retired in that same year, 2020.
Yeah.
Their combined lifetime contributions were about $735,000.
Okay.
But they would receive about $812,000 in benefits.
So even though they're contributing more together,
mm-hmm.
they're still getting more back in benefits.
That's right.
This really, I think, illustrates the point that Social Security is not just a simple savings account.
It's not
There's a lot more going on.
a lot more going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it could be influenced by a bunch of different factors.
It's complex.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is really interesting, and I think it helps highlight the fact that Social Security is really designed to provide a safety net
Absolutely.
for everybody who's eligible.
That's the goal.
Yeah, and it's not just about what you put in, but it's also about making sure that everyone has at least a basic level of support
Exactly.
when they need it most.
That's right.
So it's a much more nuanced system than I think a lot of people realize.
I agree.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Absolutely.
But it's important to acknowledge that, with all these benefits and the way the system is structured, it's not without its challenges.
Oh, of course not.
Right. Our research also points to some concerns about the program's long-term financial stability.
Yeah.
And this is something that I know comes up a lot in the news.
Right.
And, it can be a bit worrying for people who are counting on Social Security in the
Oh,
future.
absolutely. People are concerned about that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth taking a look at, what are these concerns and why should we be paying attention to them?
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the most significant challenges is that the demographics are changing.
Okay.
Specifically, the worker to retiree ratio.
What exactly does that mean and why does that matter for Social Security?
Yeah, so think of it this way. Imagine you're at a potluck and everybody brings a dish to share, right?
Okay, yeah, I like potluck.
Yeah, everybody loves a potluck.
Yeah.
So initially, there are plenty of dishes for everyone to enjoy.
Right.
But as more people arrive to eat, but fewer people are bringing dishes,
Oh.
the food starts to run low.
Yeah, you run into a problem.
Exactly. And that's essentially what's happening with Social Security.
Okay.
The number of people paying into the system, those are the workers bringing the dishes to the potluck,
I see.
is shrinking compared to the number of people receiving benefits.
Yeah.
Those are the folks enjoying the potluck.
Got you. So you're saying there are fewer workers supporting a growing number of retirees. Interesting. Okay, so what are some of the reasons why we're seeing this trend?
Well, there are a couple of factors at play. One, people are living longer,
Okay.
which means they're collecting benefits for a longer period of time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
At the same time, birth rates are declining, so there are fewer young people entering the workforce and contributing to the system.
Yeah, it's kind of a double whammy, right?
It is a double whammy.
People are living longer and fewer people are being born.
Yeah, so back in 1960, there were about 5.1 workers for every beneficiary.
Wow.
Today, that ratio has dropped to 2.8 workers per beneficiary.
That is a huge
It
difference.
is, and it puts a strain on the system.
So if this trend continues, it sounds like it could really put a strain on the system's ability to pay out benefits in the future.
Yeah, that's a legitimate concern, and projections show that the Social Security Trust Fund, which is where all those payroll taxes are held, could be depleted by as early as 2034 if nothing changes.
Deplete, so does that mean it's going to be completely empty?
Not necessarily empty, but it's not going to have enough money to cover all the promised benefits
Gotcha.
at their current levels.
So if no action is taken, what could happen?
Well, estimates suggest that benefits could be reduced by as much as 20%.
Wow, that's a big reduction.
Yeah, and that could have a real impact on people's retirement plans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what can be done to address this issue? Like,
Right.
are there solutions? Are people talking about ways to fix this?
Yeah, there are definitely some options on the table, and each one has its pros and cons.
Okay.
One idea is to raise the full retirement age.
Okay, so right now it's gradually increasing to 67.
That's right, for those born in 1960 or later.
Right, so you're saying we should push it even further.
Well, some people think that aligning it with increasing life expectancies makes sense.
Okay.
And it could help reduce the strain on the system by allowing it to collect more money before having to pay out benefits.
So people are working longer,
Right.
contributing more,
Exactly.
and then they start receiving benefits a little bit later.
Right, and that could help.
Okay.
But of course, it could also be tough on people in physically demanding jobs who might not be able to work longer.
Right, like if you're a construction worker or,
Exactly.
some other physically demanding job, it might be really difficult to work until you're 70 or 75.
Right, and that's a valid concern.
Yeah, so it seems like finding that right balance is going to be key.
Absolutely, finding a balance is important.
Are there any other solutions that people are talking about?
Yeah, another idea is to adjust how the benefits are calculated.
Okay.
Right now, they're indexed to wage growth,
Mm-hmm.
which means they increase over time.
Yeah, to keep up with the cost of living, to
Exactly.
keep up with inflation.
Right. But some experts are suggesting using price indexing instead.
Okay. And what would be the difference there?
Well, with price indexing, benefits would increase more slowly because they'd be tied specifically to inflation. So
Okay.
this could definitely help with the financial stability of the program. But it could also mean that retirees see their benefits buying less over time.
Right, because if their benefits are only increasing with inflation,
Right.
but their actual costs of living are going up faster,
Exactly.
then they're going to have less money to spend.
Less buying power. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough decision to make.
It is tough because it's a trade-off.
Yeah, are there any other solutions that are more focused on like increasing the revenue coming into Social Security?
Yeah, for sure. One option is raising the payroll tax cap.
Okay, what is the payroll tax cap?
So right now, only wages up to a certain amount are subject to Social Security taxes.
Okay.
In 2024, that limit was $168,600.
So if you make more than that.
Right, you're not paying Social Security taxes on that income.
Okay.
So the idea is that if we raise that cap, then those higher earners would contribute more, which could bring in a lot more money for the program.
Yeah. I see how that could potentially generate a lot of revenue.
It could.
But are there any downsides to that?
Well, it's a complex issue because while it could help address the funding challenges, it also raises questions about fairness. You know, who should bear the burden of supporting the system?
Right. And if you raise taxes on higher earners,
Right.
they might not be too happy about that.
Exactly. It's a sensitive topic.
Yeah, it's definitely politically charged.
For sure.
So it seems like finding that solution that both addresses the funding challenges,
Right.
but also ensures that it's fair for everyone.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough task.
Yeah, it's not an easy solution, and it's going to require thoughtful policy changes and open discussions.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this has been a really informative discussion so far.
It has.
We've talked about how Social Security works, some of the challenges that it's facing, and even started to touch on some potential solutions,
Right.
each with their own trade-offs. But before we wrap up, there's one more topic that I think we really need to address,
Okay.
and it's something that I know a lot of people have heard before.
Yeah.
The comparison of Social Security to a Ponzi scheme.
The elephant in the room. Yeah, that's a comparison that gets thrown around a lot, and it can create a lot of fear and uncertainty for people.
Absolutely.
But I think it's really important to take a close look at this claim and understand the key differences.
So where does this comparison even come from? Like, are there any actual similarities between the two?
Yeah, I mean, I can see why people might make that comparison at first glance.
Okay.
In both Social Security and a Ponzi scheme, you have money coming in from new participants and being used to pay those who are already receiving benefits.
Okay, so there's that flow of money from new to existing participants
Right.
in both cases. But what makes them fundamentally different?
The key difference is their nature and purpose.
Okay.
At its core, a Ponzi scheme is fraudulent.
Okay.
It relies on deception, promising unrealistic returns to attract new investors, and then they use that new money to pay off the earlier investors.
So they're just constantly trying to get new people in,
Exactly, to keep the money flowing.
even though there's no real substance behind it.
Right, there's no real economic activity generating those returns.
It's like a house of cards
It is a house of cards.
that eventually collapses.
Absolutely, when that new money dries up, it all falls apart.
So how does that differ from Social Security?
Well, Social Security, on the other hand, is legally mandated.
Okay.
It's not optional.
Right.
And it has dedicated funding sources, those payroll taxes that we talked about. So
Yeah.
it's not based on deception or empty promises.
Okay.
It's a system that was established by law with a clear purpose to provide that safety net for people.
But it still relies on current workers' contributions to pay for current retirees' benefits.
All right.
That's true. So how is that not like a Ponzi scheme?
Well, unlike a Ponzi scheme, those contributions are not just disappearing.
Okay.
They're being held and invested in the Social Security Trust Fund,
Well, I see.
which holds U.S. government securities.
Which are considered to be a pretty safe investment.
Very safe, some of the safest in the world.
Okay, so unlike a Ponzi scheme, which relies on constantly recruiting new people
Right.
and deception,
Yep.
Social Security is this legally established program with dedicated funding and a
Absolutely.
clear social purpose.
Exactly. It's designed to provide that financial security throughout your life.
Whether it's through retirement, disability, or survivor benefits.
Exactly.
Okay, so while there might be some superficial similarities,
Right.
the underlying structure and the legal framework of Social Security really set it apart from a Ponzi scheme.
Absolutely.
So it's important, I think, to be aware of those distinctions
Yeah.
and not let these comparisons kind of cloud our judgment about what Social Security is and what it aims to do.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, this has been incredibly eye-opening.
Yeah.
I mean, we've learned that Social Security is this really complex system with a really important social purpose, but also some very real challenges ahead.
It is.
And it's definitely not just a simple retirement savings account.
No, it's so much more than that. And it really reflects the idea that as a society, we can come together to support each other
Through good times and bad.
through thick and thin, exactly.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the key takeaways that you hope our listeners will remember from our conversation today?
Well, I think the biggest thing is to just really understand how Social Security works, both its strengths and its weaknesses,
Yeah.
because it's so important to stay informed.
Especially with all these potential changes.
Exactly. And to engage in these discussions about its future, because ultimately Social Security's future depends on us.
It depends on all of us understanding it and participating in the conversation
Absolutely.
about how to keep it sustainable.
Yep. The decisions we make today are going to have ripple effects for generations to come.
That'd be a great point.
So it's really up to all of us to make sure that Social Security is around to provide that safety net for folks.
Yeah, I love that. Well, this has been a fascinating discussion about Social Security.
It
I
has.
know I've learned a lot. I hope our listeners have too.
Me too.
And, we've only scratched the surface here today.
Yeah, we've just touched on some of the highlights.
There's so much more to learn.
Absolutely.
So I would encourage all of our listeners to check out the show notes.
Yes,
There are a
definitely.
bunch of resources there that you can use to dive even deeper into this topic.
A ton of great resources.
So thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Social Security.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure. And until next time, stay curious and keep learning.
Always.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah, it definitely is more than meets the eye. And while those examples show the positive side of things, we've got to acknowledge that Social Security isn't perfect.
Right. It's not a free lunch.
No, it's not.
Our research definitely points to some serious concerns about the program's long-term financial stability.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is something that we hear about all the time in the news.
All the time.
And, it can be pretty worrying for people who are planning on relying on those benefits in the future.
Right. You're counting on that money.
Exactly. So let's dive into those concerns.
Okay.
What are they, and why should we be paying attention to them?
Yeah. So I think the biggest one, the most significant challenge facing Social Security is the changing demographics,
Okay.
and specifically the worker to retire ratio.
Okay. Can you break that down for us? What exactly does that mean, and why does it matter for Social Security?
Yeah, so think of it like this. Imagine you're at a potluck. Everybody brings a dish to share, right?
Okay. I can imagine that.
Everyone loves a good potluck.
Yeah.
So at first, there's plenty of food for everyone to enjoy.
Right.
But as more and more people show up to eat, but fewer people are bringing dishes,
Uh-oh.
the food starts to run low.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it's not. And that's basically what's happening with Social Security.
Yeah.
The number of people paying into the system, those are the workers bringing the dishes,
Right.
is shrinking compared to the number of people receiving benefits. Those are the folks eating at the potluck.
Gotcha. So you're saying there are fewer workers supporting a growing number of retirees.
Exactly. That's the issue.
Okay, so why are we seeing this trend? What's causing this shift?
Well, there are a couple of factors. One, people are living longer these days,
Okay, that makes sense.
which means they're collecting benefits for a longer period of time.
Yeah, longer lifespans.
Right. And at the same time, birth rates are declining, so you have fewer young people entering the workforce to contribute to the system.
Look at double whammy.
It is a double whammy.
People are living longer and fewer babies are being born.
Exactly. And you can see that reflected in the numbers. In 1960, there were about 5.1 workers for every one beneficiary.
Wow.
Today, that ratio is 2.8 workers per beneficiary.
That's a huge drop.
It is a big drop, and it puts a strain on the system.
Yeah, it sounds like if this trend continues, it could really jeopardize the system's ability to pay out those benefits in the future.
Yeah, that's a real concern. And projections actually show that the Social Security Trust Fund, which is where all the payroll taxes are kept, could be depleted by as early as 2034 if nothing changes.
Depleted, does that mean it's going to be completely empty?
Not necessarily empty, but it won't have enough to cover all the benefits that have been promised.
At the current level.
Exactly.
So if no action is taken, what could happen to benefits?
Well, some estimates say that benefits could be cut by as much as 20%.
Wow, that's a significant reduction.
It is, and it could have a real impact on people's retirement plans.
Absolutely, people are counting on that money.
They are.
So what can we do about this? What are some of the solutions that people are talking about to address these challenges?
Well, luckily, there are a few options on the table, although each one has its own trade-offs.
Yeah.
One idea is to raise the full retirement age.
Okay, so right now, like you said, it's gradually increasing to 67 for people born in 1960 or later.
That's right.
So are you suggesting pushing it even further?
Well, some experts believe that aligning it with increasing life expectancies makes sense
Okay.
because people are living longer, they could work longer, and that could help reduce the strain on the system because it would allow Social Security to collect more money before paying out benefits.
So people would work longer, pay in more, and then start receiving benefits a little later.
Exactly, and that could help alleviate some of the pressure.
Okay, I see the logic there. But what about people in physically demanding jobs?
Right.
You know, like construction workers or other jobs where it's tough to keep working into your late 60s or even 70s.
Yeah, that's a valid concern. Not everyone can work longer.
Right, so it seems like finding that balance is key.
Absolutely. Finding a solution that works for everyone is crucial.
Are there any other solutions on the table?
Yeah, another idea is to adjust how benefits are calculated.
Okay.
Right now, they're indexed to wage growth, meaning they increase over time to keep pace with the rising cost of living.
Right, to keep up with inflation.
Exactly. But some experts are proposing using price indexing instead.
Okay, and what would be the difference there?
Well, with price indexing, benefits would increase more slowly, tied more closely to inflation.
Okay.
So this could definitely help the program financially,
Right.
but it could also mean that retirees see their benefits buying less over time.
Right. Because if their benefits are only increasing with inflation, but their actual cost of living is going up faster, they'll
Exactly.
have less purchasing power.
Less buying power,
Yeah,
exactly.
it's a trade-off.
It is a tough decision.
It is. Are there any other solutions that are more focused on bringing more money into Social Security?
Yeah, one option is raising the payroll tax cap.
Okay, remind me what that is again.
So right now, only wages up to a certain limit are subject to Social Security taxes.
Okay.
So for example, in 2024, that limit was $168,600.
So if you earn more than that,
Right. You're not paying Social Security taxes on any income above that threshold.
I see. So the idea is to raise that cap so higher earners contribute more.
Exactly. And that could bring in a lot of additional revenue for the program.
Yeah, I see how that could make a difference. But are there any downsides to that approach?
Well, it's a complicated issue.
Yeah.
While it could help with the funding, it also raises questions about fairness.
Right. Who bears the burden?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you raise taxes on higher earners, that could be a politically sensitive
For
topic.
sure, it's a tough balance to strike.
It requires careful consideration.
So finding a solution that addresses these funding issues while also ensuring fairness for everyone is a tough task.
Yeah, it's a complex problem, and there's no easy answer.
It sounds like it's going to require some creative solutions and open and honest discussions.
Absolutely. We need to have these conversations to make sure Social Security is sustainable for the long haul.
Well said. This has been incredibly informative so far.
It has been.
We've talked about how Social Security works, the challenges it's facing, and even started to brainstorm some potential
We'll
solutions,
get there.
each with their own set of pros and cons.
Right. Every solution has trade-offs.
But before we wrap up, there's one more topic I think we need to address.
Okay.
And it's something that I know a lot of people have heard before.
Yeah.
The comparison of Social Security to a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, the elephant in the room, it's a comparison that you hear all the time, and it really freaks people out.
Yeah, it's definitely a scary thought, but I think it's important to really break this down and look at the key differences between the two.
Absolutely.
So where does this comparison even come from? Are there any actual similarities between Social Security and a Ponzi scheme?
I mean, on the surface, I can see why people might draw that parallel.
Okay.
Because in both cases, you have money from new participants being used to pay benefits to people who are already in the system.
Okay, so there's that flow of money from new to existing participants
Right.
in both cases. But what makes them fundamentally different?
I think the most important difference is their nature and purpose.
Okay.
Like at its very core, a Ponzi scheme is fraudulent.
Great.
It's based on deception. It promises these unrealistic returns to get new investors in the door, and then they use that new money to pay off the earlier investors.
So that's all about attracting new investors to keep the money flowing,
Exactly.
even though there's no real substance behind it.
Right. There's no real economic activity generating those returns.
So it's basically a house of cards.
Yeah, it's a house of cards built on lies.
That's bound to collapse eventually.
Exactly. As soon as that new money dries up, the whole thing falls
Yeah.
apart.
So how does that differ from Social Security?
Well, Social Security, on the other hand, is a legally mandated program.
Okay.
It's not optional, and it has these dedicated funding sources, those payroll taxes we talked about.
Right.
So it's not built on deception or empty promises.
Okay.
It's a system that was created by law with a very clear purpose to provide that safety net for people.
But it still relies on money from current workers to pay for benefits for current retirees, right?
That's true. But unlike a Ponzi scheme, those contributions aren't just vanishing into thin air.
Okay.
They're held and invested in the Social Security Trust Fund.
Which we've talked about.
Exactly. And that trust fund holds U.S. government securities,
Which are considered to be very safe investments.
some of the safest in the world.
Right. So unlike a Ponzi scheme, which needs to constantly recruit new people and rely on deception,
Right.
Social Security is a legally established program with
Absolutely.
a clear social purpose.
And dedicated funding.
Okay, so even though there might be a few superficial similarities, when you really look at the structure and the legal framework of Social Security, it's totally different from a Ponzi scheme.
It really is, and I think it's so important to be aware of those differences and not let these misleading comparisons make us afraid of what Social Security is and what it's designed to do.
I agree. This deep dive has been really eye-opening. I mean, we've learned that Social Security is this really complex system with a long history, a really vital social purpose, and some very real challenges ahead.
Definitely.
And it's clear that it's not just a simple retirement savings account.
It's so much more than that. It really shows that as a society, we can come together and support each other.
Through the ups and downs of life.
Exactly, through thick and thin.
So before we wrap up, what are some of the key takeaways that you hope our listeners will remember from this conversation?
Well, I think the most important thing is to just really understand how Social Security works.
Yeah, both the good and the bad.
Exactly, the strengths and the weaknesses, because the more informed we are, the better equipped we'll be to make decisions about its future.
Absolutely. Social Security's future really depends on all of us understanding it and participating in these conversations about its sustainability.
I couldn't agree more. The choices we make today will impact generations to come.
That's a powerful thought. It's really up to all of us to make sure that Social Security is around to provide that safety net for those who need it most.
Well said.
Well, this has been a fantastic exploration of Social Security.
It really has.
I know I've learned a lot. I hope our listeners have as well.
Me too.
We've just scratched the surface today. There's so much more to learn.
Oh, yeah, tons of information out there.
So we encourage all of our listeners to check out the show notes. We've got a ton of great resources there that you can use to dive even deeper into this topic.
Absolutely. Lots of great stuff to check out.
And with that, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Social Security.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, stay curious and keep learning.
Always learning.
Bye, everybody.
See you.